Productions.
My dear respected Muslim brothers and non-Muslim guests, I'm very grateful to be here tonight and I'm feeling very honored to have this opportunity to address you on this critical topic. And I want to make sure that you understand that this is not really a lecture. I'm not prepared to lecture on this particular topic as if I have some special credentials to speak about the purpose of life. Actually, it's a sort of advice, an advice even to myself, because I can see myself sitting where you're sitting. A few years ago, it seems almost like a few days ago, a non-Muslim, in particular a Christian, a human being, the ethnicity or the nationality, it doesn't really matter, but an individual, a person who at that particular time did not know exactly, could not answer for myself, what is the purpose of life? Now I realize that in order for me to deliver this information to you, it will take some of your precious, critical time. And no one has even a minute of life to waste. So with that note, I would request you, all of you, to think of what I'm saying to you as information and advice. Now, this information may seem to be somewhat extensive, but when you consider the capacity of the human brain, the amount of information that it can store, the amount of information that it is able to process and decipher, then I don't think that the information that I'm going to share with you tonight will necessarily overburden you. Now, it is my responsibility to address the topic, what is the purpose of our life, and also to ask you the question, what do you know about Islam? I mean, what do you really know about Islam? Not what you read in the newspapers, not what you saw on television that was prepared for you, not the preconditioned information that came from people who had their own prejudices and their own limited views, but what do you really know about Islam? What facts do you really have about Islam and Muslims? Not necessarily even what have you seen in the action of some Muslims whom you may know, for that may not be an accurate reference either. As I mentioned, I am extremely honored to have this opportunity to be here in Sydney, Australia, in the land down under, if that's what you call it. And I would like to begin by saying that all of you have an equal responsibility with myself. And the responsibility that you have is to listen with an open heart and an open mind. Now, in a world filled with prejudice and cultural conditioning, it is extremely hard to find people that are willing to be objective for a moment and put aside their preconditioning and to think for a moment, if you dare, what is the purpose of your life? Now, what I mean by open heart and open mind is very simple. And you can try this when you get home. It's no tricks to it. Turn a glass upside down and see if you can pour yourself a glass of water. You can pour all day. You'll never fill the glass. The mind and the heart are receptacles for information and values. Minimally, you have to listen in order to receive it. And you have to remove for a moment the obstructions. Unfortunately, when you ask most people the question, what is the purpose of life? Such an important question, such a critical question, they will not tell you what they have concluded from life experience. They won't tell you what they have obtained through reasoning or logic. They won't tell you what they have from their own self-conviction. Usually, if you ask this question, they'll tell you what someone else said, or they'll tell you what is commonly presumed by most people. What my father said the purpose of life is, what my mother said the purpose of life is, what the minister of my church said the purpose of life is, what my teacher or my professor in school said what the purpose of life is, what my friend said. If I ask anyone about the purpose of eating, why do we eat? Everyone will say in one way or another, we eat for nutrition. Very simple. If I ask anybody why do they work, they say, I work because I have to support myself and my family in an honorable way. A simple answer to a simple question. If we ask a series of questions like that, why do we wash? Why do we dress? They will answer all of these questions by saying, this is very simple. This is a common necessity for all human beings. And if you ask this question to 100 people in 100 different places in the world, you will get just about the same answers. Then I ask you to ask yourself, why is it that when we ask the simple question, what is the purpose of our lives? Why do we get so many different answers? It is because people haven't really thought about it. It's too frightening. Not the question itself is frightening, but what's frightening is that if we answer it clearly, it may change our lives indelibly, and we are afraid of change. The human being innately is afraid and apprehensive of change. This is why it's so easy just to follow, to imitate blindly, because then you don't have to feel like you're responsible. You can blame somebody else. Well, think about it tonight. Is our purpose in this world simply to eat and sleep and dress and work and acquire some material things and enjoy ourselves? Well, the hedonists, they will tell you, that is the pleasure seekers, the worldly people who only want to enjoy themselves, who are only concerned about taste and touch and feel and smell and have and possess. Those people who think they have the world in their hands, or that the world is in a cup of brandy, they will tell you that life is only for enjoyment, so enjoy all that you can. Is this our purpose? Why are we born? What is the object of our existence? And what is the wisdom behind the creation of man and this tremendous universe? Think about that question. Think about it seriously. Now, some people will argue that there's simply no proof of any divine origin of this world. And there's no proof that there's a God. And there's no proof that this universe has come about through any divine purpose. There are those who argue that, and some of them, they occupy some of the higher places in academia, in government. Some of them occupy some of the elite positions in society and in our lives. Some of them are called central personalities. But they themselves are confused. They also have their own frustrations. And I'd like to share a statistic with you. The greatest amount of misery, the greatest amount of suicide, the greatest amount of confusion and disparagement exists among that class of people. So evidently, even they don't have the answers. Now, there are people who argue this way, and they say that perhaps this world came about by chance. That means random. That's what chance means, random. Like going to the gambling house. You call it here the gaming rooms. They have a nice name for it here. It's a place of immorality. It's a place where you put your life savings on the line. You're trying to get something for nothing. You put your hard-earned money. Sometimes the man doesn't tell his wife, or the wife doesn't tell her husband, and they lose their house and their lives, taking a chance, trying to earn something for nothing. And the government has set it up and supported it with your tax dollars. And you're so foolish that you think that after you gamble for 5 years and you've lost $50,000 or $60,000, that if you win $25,000, you get real happy. So thinking that this world came about by chance is the same as thinking that when you put money in a slot machine, that the numbers come up by chance. They don't. Everybody knows that the casinos are rigged and only the house wins all the time. But to think that this world came about in the same way that people gamble, random choice, well, let's put that to a test. This is an example that you can do in your home with your children. Take 10 marbles, number them 1 to 10, and put them inside of a bag and shake the bag. And then close your eyes without looking inside that bag, pull out number 1, pull out marble number 2, pull out marble number 3, in that order. Just 10 marbles, that's all, 5, 10. What do you think the chances are pulling out those 10 marbles in that order without looking at them? Is anybody here that's a mathematic genius, knows about calculus, knows the random chance? Does anybody know the chance? 26 million to 1. That's only 10 marbles. That's called a micro example. Now let's go a little bit further out to a macro example. The earth that we are on is one planet among 9, or some people say 11, in our solar system, isn't it? And our sun that gives energy and light and gravity is the center of our solar system. And our sun is only one star, and it happens to be one of the smaller stars in our galaxy called the Milky Way. And the Milky Way is only one of the smaller galaxies in the nebula called the Andromeda. And the Andromeda has itself millions of galaxies like the one that our sun is a part of. And there are millions, or literally countless galaxies, clusters of galaxies like the Andromeda, that have been predicted by sending out sound and light. And they have sent out sound and light that has never returned. Now, all of this diverse order that we see in the heavens, that we are able to somewhat calculate and predict, that we call night and day, time, all of this is in order that allows us to calculate. Tell me, if you can't pull out 10 marbles in order, how did all of this come in order? Evidently, man didn't do it, because man is only a drop of water on the earth, significantly nothing. You can't even see him if you get a certain distance. He's forgotten about. So I say to you, certainly, This whole great world with all of its great orchestration could not have just come together. And even